Blog Talk Radio.
Woo! Come on, let's keep it going.
He will never neglect his child, nor will ignore tears in your eyes.
Today we take this title, Overcome Your Doubts. Tell your neighbor. I can't hear you. Because this is what everyone is wrestling, battling, struggling with. Doubts. The best sent have need for the help that can make their faith stronger. Tell your neighbor, the best saints have need for the help that can make their faith stronger. Who are you then? If the best saint, you know, saint. Let's take our reading from the book of Matthew 11. Now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. Verse 2. And when John had heard in prison about the work of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. Verse 3. And he said to him, are you the coming one? Or do we look for another? Verse 4. Jesus answered and said to them, go, tell John the things. Take note of that. Go, tell John the things which you hear and see. Too concrete this time. Go, tell John the things which you hear and see. Verse 5. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the dead hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Verse 6. Blessed is he who is not offended because of me. When you begin to look at all the biblical character, take the case of Abraham in Genesis 15, verse 6. Abraham believed, but still, he wanted a sign. He wanted a sign that will make his faith stronger. Let's look at Gideon in that Judges 6, verse 36 to 37. Gideon believed, but still he wanted concrete sign to strengthen his faith. Let someone say, overcome your doubt. I can't hear you. John the Baptist. In that Matthew 11. John the Baptist believed, but also, he wanted concrete sign to make his faith firm. That, yeah, you are the one. Not that he does not believe. He believes. He wanted concrete evidence, concrete sign. Yes! That is why he sent his two disciples there. Many people in the Bible whom we regard, consider to be pillar of faith, had moment of doubt. This does not mean that they had less faith, but that their faith was being challenged in a new way. What do I mean by hard moment of doubt? There are situations in their life that challenged their faith. Uncommon, unusual things that they came across. If you are genuinely seeking salvation from God, in the midst of doubt, God will not mind, because at the end, your doubt will move you closer to Him.
Where do we go from here in your presence? How do we continue to live our life the same? Tell me, how do we try to explain that we have right here, in your presence? Tell me, where do we go from here, in your presence?
Thank you, you may be seated, thank you, you are communicating. Yes, there are situation in their life that challenged their faith. Unusual things that they came across. There are situations in your life that are challenging your faith. What are the situations in your life that are challenging your faith? Let such situation move you closer to God, not further away from God. Tell your neighbor, let such situation
move you
closer to God, not further away from Him. Some will say, "Oh no, I'm poor. No, I'm sick. No, I'm no." In cases of prolonged, uncomfortable situation, such as sickness, disease, hardship, poverty, and lies, one seems to be tempted to doubt his ability and desire to help. One seems to be tempted to doubt his desire or ability to help. So I've been in the sickness for many years. Look, I've been a Christian for long, and you have friends that they are church goers, but you are a doer, as you believe. their faith was being challenged in a new way. What one has not experienced before in one's life, cropping up, will generate anxiety, worry, panic, doubt in one's face. What you have never experienced before. You begin to ask yourself, how does this see coming? What is happening to me? Tell your neighbor, overcome your doubt. I can hear you. I can hear you. Yes. Overcome your doubt. When you open the book of Matthew 14, verse 31, David, John the Baptist, and Peter, along with many other biblical heroes, struggling with various doubts. When Peter was asked to drop his net, he said, Jesus, I've been there for many months. I've been doing what you asked me to do. Why can you ask me to drop my net? No! God does not mind doubt as long as we are seeking answer from God in the midst of it. Tell your neighbor, God does not mind doubt as long as we are seeking answer from God in the midst of it. Yes, God does not mind doubt. Does not mind doubt. But mind you, doubt can become sin if it leads you away from God. Tell your neighbor, doubt can become sin if it leads you away from God. So skepticism, cynicism, then to hard-heartedness. It can become sin if it leads you away from God. But God does not mind out. As long as you are seeking answer from Him in the midst of it, like John the Baptist, like Peter.
Why should I feel discouraged? Why must the shadow come? Why should my heart feel lonely and long for heaven and home?
Thank you, thank you. As you move closer to God, you will find the strength to trust God. As you move closer to Him, in the midst of that doubt, you move closer to Him because you have a genuine desire. You will find the strength to trust Him, and your faith will grow even stronger. One of Satan's tactics is to get you to doubt God's goodness. Tell your neighbor, one of Satan's tactics is to get you to doubt God's goodness. God's time is the best. Be patient. He tries to get you to forget all God has given you. And he wants you to focus on what you do not have. You begin to say, God, give me, God, give me, God, me, God, me. You want you to focus on what you do not have. And if you are spending much of your time thinking about what you do not have, you may be slipping into unhealthy doubts. Today, we only acknowledge the immediate goodness of God when we receive, and thereafter never mention that miracle, that blessing, that healing, that deliverance, that we never mention. That is Satan. Remember the sickness you had in the past, the same sickness other had and died. Why many other are still on the sick bed? If you say it was an ordinary sickness, because we have answer to every question. It's an ordinary sickness, it's an ordinary headache, it is an ordinary heart attack. No. But people die the same sickness every day. Tell your neighbor, never doubt God's desire or ability to help you. Let's quickly look at 1 Samuel 17, verse 37. It's just about a rustic boy, David. David was brought to king to defend his cause. The Bible says he simply testified of how God delivered him, how God saved him, how God rescued him from the mouth of lion and the bear in his tender age. But you, if you are called for testimony, you will mention just only the immediate thereafter, never measure that miracle, that blessing God did in your tender age. God gives everyone plenty of evidence to believe in him. Let someone say, God gives everyone plenty of evidence to believe in him. Yes, that comes when we fail to stop long enough to observe all the evidence. Are you with me? Listen again. That comes when we fail to stop long enough to observe all the evidence. What I mean, once in a while, you should take time to reflect over God's track record in your life. This is what I mean. Many of us here today were born into poverty-stricken families. Striking means your uncle is poor. Your grandmother is poor. No vehicle, no motorcycle, even no house. Everybody is living in a family house. Many of us were born into poverty-striking families. Sickness-ridden families. But today, we are able to live above all that. We are like a man who prayed that he had no shoe. At last, God answered. And he had money. And he went to the market and saw a man without legs. Tell your neighbor, when you have doubt, reveal God's track record in your life. When you have doubt, reveal God's track record in your life. You would know that you are from nowhere to somebody. Reveal it. God's track record in your life. When you take your time to reveal God's track record in your life, that will grow confident that He will work in your present situation. When you are struggling with doubt, take time to remember the way God has worked in your life. As you recall God's track record, you will grow confidence that the situation you are in is not like others for the glory of God. As you recall God's track record, you will grow confidence that whatever situation you are in, going by the track record, look at me here. I spent 20-something months in my mother's womb. Why I was not delivered at 9 months? For me to be there for 20-something months and nothing happened to me, and I was delivered, the same day I was delivered, the seventh day, a stone came from nowhere to hit me and kill me. But I escaped this. And going by my track record in the past, wow. Each time I take time to remember the way God has worked in my life, as I recall God's track record, it grows confidence in me that whatever, is not like order for the glory of God. As you recall God's track record in your life, you will grow confident that a solution is forthcoming. You will grow confidence that your present situation will be overcome by God. Amen. As He did in the past. You will grow confident that God will never fail you or abandon you, because He had not and never did in the past. Be patient. Tell your neighbor, be patient.
Yes.
I can hear you.
Yes.
And let God answer your question on His schedule, not yours. Tell your neighbor.
Yes.
Be patient and let God answer your question on His schedule, not yours. God's time is the best, at God's time, it is all good. Thank you. Rise up. If your question has been answered, let me see your hand. Questions you brought here today. If those questions have been answered, let me see your hand. Your question has been answered. Your question has been answered. Viewers all over the world, your question has been answered. Viewers all over the world, your question has been answered. Viewers all over the world, your question has been answered. Thank you, Jesus. So doubt can move one closer to God. Yes, if I genuinely seek salvation from God in the midst of doubt, God will not mind, because at the end, my doubt will move me closer to Him. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So God is aware that there are some challenges, prolonged, uncomfortable situation. One seems to be tempted to doubt God's desire or ability to help.
Oh, God is aware.
Father, thank you. Worship Him, worship Him.
believe you have been inspired by the clip you have just watched.
People of God, Emmanuel. Yes. If God is with us, who can be against us? If God is with a nation, who can be against her? Greetings, church. Hallelujah. My name is Harry. I come from Greece. By our fruits, you shall know us. Viewers all over the world, thank you for being part of today's broadcast. You shall be blessed as you listen to this message. Amen. I have good news for you. And with this good news, your life will change. Your thinking will change. Your attitude will change. Your way of life will change. Everything that has to do with you will change in Jesus' name. Sometimes in life, it seems as if the world around us is coming to an end. It is in critical situations like this that we know who is a man of faith. Many people today that claim to be men and women of faith, when they face crisis, they begin to pray, "Lord, where are you? Can you see me that I'm suffering?" These are the people that try to figure God out through their feelings. When they feel good, they think God has heard their prayers. When they don't feel particularly good, they begin to rebel or murmur against God. First, they begin to change churches from Apostle Paul's church to Apostle Peter's church, from Apostle Peter's church to John the Baptist's church, from John the Baptist's church to Prophet Elijah's church, and finally choose to seek alternatives outside the church. But the Bible makes us to understand that the quality of faith is not measured by our attitude to God when things are good, but when times are hard. I mean, when our faith seems to hang in the balance. What situation are you in as a Christian? Are you sick? Are you from a humble family background? Has your business collapsed? Have you suffered a divorce? No matter the situation you are in, right now, begin to confess this. If God be for me, no one can be against me. If God be for me, I can walk through the valley of the shadow of death. If God be for me, whether good times or not, whether trouble or not, whether rejected or not, I know what follows. Hallelujah. This will lead me to the title of today's message. I know you all the time. Let somebody say, I know you all the time. Hallelujah. Our proof text shall be taken from the book of Job, chapter 2. At your free time, you can take your reading from verse 1 to the end. I will take my reading from verse 7. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. Verse 9. His wife said to him, "Are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die." He replied, "You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" In all this, Job did not sin in what he said. Praise the Lord. If you take your time to read your Bible from the beginning to the end, you will agree with me that among all the great biblical characters, Job stood out. There is no man or woman of faith in the Bible that was tempted as severely as Job. The Bible says he was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. Now, we all know Satan's mission. In the book of John, chapter 10, verse 10, the Bible says that Satan comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. So one day, Satan came to God and asked for permission to destroy everything that belongs to Job. That very day, Job lost all his children, 10 in number, and all his wealth. As if that was not bad enough, Satan got another permission from God to afflict Job with a terrible disease. So here lies Job, devastated, childless, and the worst of all, afflicted with terrible sores from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. In all this, the Bible says, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. Instead, he fell to the ground in worship and said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." Going by what happened to Job, we understand that trouble does not require any invitation before it comes. Tell your neighbor, trouble does not require any invitation before it comes. The question is, how do you handle it? Ask your neighbor, how do you handle it? Because the way you handle it matters. If you handle your hard times with care, they will soon turn to good times. But if you don't handle your good times with care, they will soon turn to hard times. Job saw his hard times as a reason for believing in God, just as he had seen good times as a reason for believing in God as well. When the goings were good, I mean when there was food on the table and money in the pockets, Job said to God, "Lord, you are Jehovah Jireh, my provider. May your name be glorified." When later there was no food on the table and no money in the pocket, Job said, "Lord, you gave to me and you have taken away. May your name be glorified.
Because of who you are, I give you glory. Oh, because of who you are, I give you praise. Oh, yes, I do. It's because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Oh, because of who you are.
Because of who you are, I give you glory.
Because of who you are, Lord, I give you praise. Because of who you are,
I will lift my voice.
You may be seated. In other words, Job was telling God, whether you save me or not, I will continue to serve you because I know you are my Savior. Whether you heal me or not, I will continue to serve you because I know you are my healer. Whether you deliver me or not, I will continue to serve you because I know you are my deliverer. I know you all the time. Hallelujah. Let somebody say, I know you all the time. To the carnally minded, Job was simply sounding unrealistic in the face of overwhelming negative sense evidences. He was sounding unrealistic. The Bible says that his heart was deeply engaged with God. He was never heard nor seen to be engaged in any desperate prayer of casting and binding, as many in our generation would do today, given the same circumstance. This shows that you can be thankful even when it seems there is nothing to be thankful about. For example, you may be full of sickness, and when it is time for prayer, you say, thank you, Lord. You may be full of headaches, and when it is time for prayer, you say, thank you, Lord. You may be full of severe pains, and when it is time for prayer, you say, thank you, Lord.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. You may have your seat. As Christians, how many of us would say, "Thank you, Lord, for healing me," whereas you are still sick? How many of us would say, "Thank you, Lord, for blessing me," whereas the signs of poverty are still there? How many of us would say, "Thank you, Lord, for setting me free," whereas you are yet to obtain real freedom? Unfortunately, many people today base their spiritual experience on feelings and emotions. When I say our spiritual experience, I mean our relationship with God. This is why they find it very difficult to believe that Jesus Christ loves them, especially when everything around them seems to go contrary to their expectations. But I'm here today to tell you that you can be sick and yet be a candidate of heaven. You can be poor and yet be a friend of God. Come and tell your neighbor, somebody. You can be sick and yet be a candidate of heaven. You can be poor and yet be a friend of God. Hallelujah. So, as I said, many people today base their spiritual experience on feelings and emotions. One of the characteristics of feelings and emotions is instability, because they are influenced by what we see, what we read, and what we hear. Ask the servant of Prophet Elisha, and he will tell you that problems arise when the feelings and emotions change. Let somebody say, problems arise when the feelings and emotions change. Turn your Bible with me to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 6 and verse 15. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh, my Lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. Verse 16. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Amen. This shows that problems arise when the feelings and emotions change. Remember, this is the same servant that witnessed many miracles through his master, Prophet Elisha. And now, just because of what he saw, his heart got filled with fear, panic, and insecurity. This is what happens when you base your spiritual experience on feelings and emotions. Your faith life will be characterized by ups and downs, ups and downs, ups and downs. When you see miracle, your faith will be strong. Yes. Your faith will be very strong when you see the miracle. But when it is time for hardship, you will begin to run helter-skelter, moving from one church to another, running after men of God for solution. What was the title of today's message? "I know you sometimes," or "I know you all the time." For you to be able to tell God, "I know you all the time," your faith must be consistent. And for your faith to be consistent, it must be based on something with more stability than feelings. In fact, I don't know anything more stable than God's Word. I said, I don't know anything more stable than God's Word. Because in Matthew 24, verse 35, the Bible says that heaven and earth will pass away, but God's Word will remain forever. Today, everyone is exposed to things that are not consistent with God's Word. For example, you believe for a promotion in your place of work, and someone tells you that the only way to be promoted is to go out with your managing director. Even your little children, when they come back from the school, they will start telling you the new abusive words that they learned for the day. Can you see? Everyone is exposed to things that are not consistent with God's Word. If these things control your feelings, and your feelings control your faith, you can be a Christian, yet controlled by Satan's devices. Tell your neighbor, when these things control your feelings, and your feelings control your faith, you can be a Christian, yet controlled by Satan's devices. Poverty is one of Satan's devices. Sickness is also one of Satan's devices. Take note, Job was not a man to be moved by the common calamities of human life. What mattered to him was what God had to say concerning his situation. Do you know what God says concerning your situation? Or you continue to be moved by the common calamities of human life? The reason why our lives are not constant today is simply because we base our spiritual experience on feelings and emotions. When we do that, we will begin to be controlled by the common calamities of human life. When sickness comes, we begin to run. Where is the doctor? Where is the hospital? What can I do? What did the doctor say? When poverty comes, you begin to look for your friends, for somebody to help you. You go to the bank, you look for a loan. You never mind for God's opinion about your situation. When you don't know God's opinion about your situation, definitely you don't know God's opinion about others. This is why Job's wife turned against God. When things went contrary to her expectations. When Job was blessed and healthy, his wife said to him, "Your God will be my God. Anywhere you go, I will go. Anywhere you die, I will die." But when Job lost everything he had, and on top of that, he became terribly sick, his wife thought that God does not love him anymore. And therefore, she advised him to curse God and die. If we judge by what is seen only, we are bound to give wrong judgments. Tell your neighbor, if we judge by what is seen only, we are bound to give wrong judgments. As Christians, our faith must be controlled by God's word, not by what our circumstances look like or what others tell us. For we live by faith, not by sight. You may feel good today, tired tomorrow, and lonely next week. But God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
You don't have to worry, and don't you be afraid. Joy comes in the morning.
You may be seated. I just want to take us to a Bible verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. I read, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." Praise God. What a wonderful message. Meaning that God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Amen? Troubles must come, but they are not unto death. Tell your neighbor, troubles must come, but they are not unto death. Hard times cannot destroy you as a Christian, just as fire cannot destroy gold. In fact, if gold must be gold, it has to pass through fire. Anytime you are face to face with uncommon challenges, do not lose heart. They may be to prepare you for the uncommon blessings that are waiting ahead of you. Because uncommon blessings always attract uncommon challenges. Tell your neighbor, uncommon blessings always attract uncommon challenges. Your uncommon challenges may be to strengthen your desire for God, to keep you for a new level in life, to preserve you for redemption, or to reform you for your proper position in Christ Jesus. When you know this as a child of God, whether trouble or not, your confession will always be, I know you all the time. May the Lord bless His word and give you the grace to do what the word says, in Jesus' name. Thank you.
This is for them rough days when you feel like giving up days. That's right. Here's a little something, put a smile on your face.
Reminisce on all the things you do.
Come on.
Man, come on.